This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, April 8th, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, Rickies. Good morning.
And Jason Bishop.
What's up?
As always, that is the foursome. Got a lot going on the show today. We're going to talk a little Redskins. Ron Rivera spoke to the media yesterday via teleconference. J.P. Finley, who covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington, he'll join us coming up at 7:20. Alan May covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us at 8:20. And we have the legend, Cal Ripken Jr., joining us. Great timing. They actually ran 21-31 last night on ESPN.
Yeah,
I watched it for a few minutes. I mean,
I watched the fifth inning.
I can't believe we watched TV that was that quality.
I know.
We did. But what was that? That was the 90s. I mean,
yeah.
That was the 90s into the early 2000s.
I showed my wife, and she was like, that's what it was like? I was like, I guess so.
Yeah.
It really was bad.
Hey. Don't let anybody tell you that we haven't sacrificed, okay? In our lives, we have gone through some sacrifices.
Maybe no wars or anything, but low-def TV.
Low-def TV, yeah. Certainly a cross we've
what
had
What struck
to bear.
Me about that night, that game, I remember I was in Santa Barbara with my wife, at my girlfriend at the time, but we were in a hotel, the Santa Barbara Inn, watching that.
Right.
And
hitting the skins.
Probably did.
Santa Barbara skins.
But I remember crying watching that. But yeah. But watching it last night, it struck me how, you know, he was very uncomfortable with the attention. And that was a 23-minute celebration in the fifth inning. And, you know, once it went to the bottom of the fifth, the game became official. They dropped the banner to make it 21-31 on the warehouse.
Who pushed him out to do the lap?
It was Bonilla and Palmeiro, mostly. I think Jeffrey Hammonds was in on it, too. But he did not want to do that, and they pushed him out there. He, you know, he had no intention of circling Camden Yards.
Right.
He was just going to, you know, show his appreciation with the crowd, which he did many times, took his hat off, took his jersey off, went over to his family, kissed the kids. But he was not comfortable with all of that, I don't think.
Just remember, we're only a few months away from Bobby Bonilla Day, July 1st of every year. I think up until 2035, the Mets stroke him a fat check for like $1.1 million.
Well, Cal just joined Twitter yesterday. So he joined Twitter, and that's why he's going to join us. He joined Twitter yesterday to launch this Strikeout Hunger 2020 campaign. And I saw a tweet where he was sitting there with his dog. He was sitting on the floor of his family room,
right,
watching 21-31. So
right,
we could talk to him about
his memories
of that
day. Did
you
follow him when you saw it?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, you got to follow Cal.
Yeah.
You could see
he's following exactly 8. Perfect number for him.
Well, I'm guessing that his guy, what's the guy's name?
John Maroon.
John Maroon is the one running that account. That
man, Cal's on Twitter before I am. Wow, I'm upset.
Well, you got fake accounts.
Yeah, apparently.
Have you guys noticed that pre-show, the time seems to fly by even quicker now? Like, even though we're at home, I feel like I get down here around 5:15, and before you know it, all of a sudden, boom, the show's starting. Like, much faster. Have you noticed that?
I'm pushing my alarm later is what I'm doing.
And you're coming down later and later?
Yeah. Like, I think the first week we started from home, I was coming down like 5:20. Now I'm waking up like at 5:25.
Right.
I'm kicking that can down the road a bit.
Yeah, I got up at like 5:25. The little one got up this morning. So then I go in her room and kind of make her bed and get it set up because she jumps into our bed early. So cleaned up that room and then I go take my shower. I actually shaved the back of my neck. Oh, my God. I looked at it for the first time in a couple weeks with the mirror. It's like it's ridiculously long back there. So it's probably not straight because, you know, I just used a mirror and whatever, but.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
You're not seeing anybody.
But a bunch of guys that I'm talking to, you know, on the phone or whatever, they're panicking about hair because they, you know, they're way past their haircut days.
Yeah,
you know, and they're not guys that are going to get crew cuts. You know what I mean? They're like older guys that just have normal haircuts.
I'm guessing if you're a barber or a stylist who's willing to, you know, play fast and loose with the social distancing, you can make yourself some nice cash. While everybody's on lockdown.
You're not recommending that, though, Kay.
Oh, I'm not recommending it, but I'm guessing that there are some people that are skirting the rules and going in and giving haircuts.
I know somebody who skirted the rules.
Right.
Yeah.
Had somebody come over, and he said the person came over with a mask.
Right.
And did all that stuff, and he offered it to me, and I was like, nah, that's okay.
I still haven't
ordered the razors. I think we tried to order another one yesterday, and they were out of stock.
Oh,
I got lazy. Like, my wife did it. She went on Amazon. I very rarely have ever gone on Amazon to order anything. And so I told her, I was like, this is the kind I want to get. And then they were out of stock, and then I never got around to ordering a different one.
I might have to convince one of my girls from the grooming lounge to come over.
Just for a haircut?
Yeah, it's going to get outrageous. I mean, it's already outrageous.
T could probably do it. Does she have any skill at that?
Hell no.
Really?
It'll look like my bowl cut when I was in sixth grade. If she did that.
Please do it then. I'm begging her to do it.
My mom used to literally put a bowl on my head and cut around it.
Yeah, I think
you guys
my mom
should just
did
all
that too.
Get pandemic haircuts and just experiment a little bit.
But I mean, honestly,
actually looks like he's been grooming pretty good. It looks like you've shaved the dome, and it looks like you've been maintaining the neck beard.
It's sporadic at best.
We're not doing a whole hell of much over here, man. We're just like barely getting through each day. We have like clothes that need to be folded, and the laundry is unbelievable. My son's bedroom smells like food. It's disgusting. It is gross around here. Right, we gotta get out of here. This thing's gotta end soon.
Can you imagine what his dorm room must have smelled like up at Marist before?
He is a complete pig. Complete pig.
And then all of us, you know, I think outside of Cakes, Cakes actually has a weekly housekeeper. All of us have housekeepers that come once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen for a while.
I
was actually on my hands and knees cleaning the floor because I don't really know how to mop it very well. So I did that for our kind of hardwoods up in the kitchen and family room. I did most of the toilets because it'll get bad, man.
No, my downstairs toilet keeps getting crushed. Too much.
I just pummeled my toilet, just crushed it.
Did you just crush it?
Yeah, about 5 minutes ago.
My son
and I
always
sent the housekeeper,
uses too much toilet paper.
I sent the housekeeper a check for 4 visits.
Yeah.
2 months worth.
We haven't done that yet. We just pay every time. Send them a check. They always want cash, though. I don't know what they'll do with the check.
Oh, they want cash money?
Oh, we've always paid them in cash.
Really? Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely shady.
There's something shady going on, but we just pay them in cash. That's what they want.
It's called dodging the tax man.
I wonder if they have Venmo.
If you're a cash business,
right?
I mean, you're just hiding your income.
Well, clearly.
Dodging the tax man or dodging ICE.
Yeah, one of them.
You're dodging something.
Yeah. I should ask my wife. I think she just sent him a check. They'll just have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe you could sign him a check if you write cash, because then you don't need an account, right?
Or you just leave the top line empty.
And they can make it out to whoever.
Right.
By the way, has the pandemic, it's clearly slowed down Jason's trips to the bank. I mean, that's a lot of his interaction.
Right.
Yeah,
How's that faring for you?
Yeah, I mean, not too much. I got to go today, though, because I got a little refund check from Virginia Tech yesterday. I got to go deposit that.
Do they let you into the bank, or are they stressing, like, go to the window or do ATM transactions?
You can go in the bank, but you have to stand. You know, there's a little piece of tape there. You have to stand behind it.
Why don't you just take a picture and send it in, like do it all that way? You're not into that.
I don't do it that way.
I haven't set that up either. I feel terrible with
don't
that.
Don't like that.
Who embraces technology less, you or my mom?
I don't know. Kyle Ripken's on Twitter before me. It's scary.
Yes. Do we know, Drabby, what is Cal promoting yet? Did JP mention something?
Yeah, they're teaming up with Feeding America.
Strikeout hunger.
Strikeout hunger? Okay.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with this, Drabby?
Dealing with what?
The whole thing. How was your day? Is it the same old every single day for you too?
My life isn't, you know, I don't have that much going on. I don't have kids,
Right.
I tell you, I'm really not missing the sports as much as I thought I would.
Really?
Life goes on.
So, yeah. But you're still basically holed up.
I just don't think, for sure. But I'm finding other ways to entertain myself.
Right. Like what?
Well, I'll go exercise more, go for walks, play video games. I don't know, doing a bunch of dumb stuff at the house.
Right, just stuff, right?
Well, no, projects at the house. I just don't, I'm not sitting out of my house thinking, oh man, I'm really missing March Madness tonight.
Well, I agree with you there.
Now, maybe on Sunday I'll be bummed out that the Masters
aren't. What's your home projects is drab t-shirt.
Yeah.
Trying to get organized, throwing tons of stuff away.
Okay. Decluttering, that makes sense.
That's good.
Trying to figure out how we're going to paint rooms, do all that kind of stuff.
Oh, are you going to actually paint?
Painting stinks.
Hell will freeze over before I pick up one paintbrush.
No, you have to just prep the room and then let the painters, let the pros come in and do what they do.
What do you mean prep the room? Just get the crap out of it?
Yeah, do all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much.
I hate that.
I hate anything. I don't like doing anything that doesn't like put food in my mouth or
real
entertain
labor.
Me.
But, but your guys' days are shorter than ever. So you guys are just like running out of things to do. I mean, you guys are now you guys are 4.5 hour days, pretty much, instead of no commute or anything like that. So you guys are just sitting there all day. I mean, Cakes is making pizzas.
Yeah, well, we had to. That was a promotional thing.
We didn't have to.
No, you don't understand.
You have to eat. You have to make dinner, which, by the way, is the bane of everybody's existence during a lockdown.
So hold on, I can see it. So the guys behind the glass are joning on us making pizzas when it's a promotion.
Right.
Look, I'm not joning on anyone making pizza.
And thanks to Paisanos.
Cakes will never be a pizza boy.
Yeah.
I never claimed to be.
What do you mean?
He's just the thickest crust I've ever seen.
Yeah, aren't you supposed to spin the pizza so it gets larger and thinner?
Act like you guys are doing a lot if you're analyzing his pizza crust on a tweet.
Trust me, I'd be doing it if I was busy, too.
And let's not act like you're just going to go in and make a bazilli pizza. It's not something you do on the regular.
No, I saw EB's. EB's look good. Yeah, Cakes' delicate hands couldn't get into that dough. And
first
to
of
toss
all,
it a little
pudgy
bit.
Hands.
Yeah, you are correct.
His delicate. You could tell he has a hurt thumb because he couldn't spin the dough.
Okay, there's a lot to get into. First of all,
his fingers are pudgy.
The hands are delicate. Okay, they're not as pudgy as Rahm's, but they might be a little. There might be a little bit of pudge there. It's Pudge Rodriguez. I did not need the dough because I let each of my kids make the pizza.
Right. So they
I let
did
them
it.
Do it.
Right. Right.
Because I don't.
Did they First do it all at the same time? That's a lot of pizza.
Well, we cooked two at once, and then we had to put a third in after that. It is quite a feat, by the way, to transfer the pizza off of like the box where they made them onto the trays to cook them.
Yeah.
Because the dough is, it's delicate.
Right.
But the pizzas came out great. Everybody enjoyed them. And it was a little something different.
Yes.
Because dinner.
I actually loved it.
Here's what dinner is. Drudgery. When you have to do it every single night and you're trying to limit your takeout, just making stuff at home, like trying to come up with new and different ideas, it taxes your
brain. Kids are they're so spoiled. They're just bitching about the same stuff. Like chicken again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like how many times do you have chicken, like roasted potatoes and asparagus?
Right, right.
Like it gets old after
my daughters
after
are
a
going
while.
After each other, man. It's starting to
are
get,
they?
Yeah. It's starting to get tense.
Yeah, I told you.
Do they ever have physical altercations?
No. They're just bitching at each other.
Sniping.
Over stupid stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone is just going stir crazy, and they're just at that edge.
How's T handling it? Is T handling it pretty
wine,
well?
With wine.
Right.
That's how she's handling
with,
it.
With fermented grapes.
I'm telling you, man. Alcohol consumption. Did I tell you how much I paid for two cases of beer?
Nope.
I'd love to hear it.
Cakes, this is unbelievable.
Did you get, are they selling, like 24-pack or 30-pack?
No, 24, because I just wanted bottles. I don't know. Do they make 30-pack bottles? I don't
know. Are you
know.
Doing the Corona bit?
Did yeah.
Corona extras or Corona lights delivered?
I like Corona lights, so I got Corona. People are shaming me because I didn't get something from a local brewery. Sorry.
It's fine. Drink what you want.
Drink what you like. You know, I don't even really love beer, but, you know.
But Stevie does.
My kid likes beer. We'll drink beer with my kid. All right? So I got Corona lights, something we both like. $90.
Oh, for two cases?
Two cases.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's quite an upcharge.
I mean,
what called Jason's my friend Bobby Belicki.
I wouldn't know. Yeah, exactly.
I think that, honestly, I think the delivery charge was like $15, but that's still like $75 for two cases. Doesn't that seem outrageous?
That seems very outrageous.
What is it? What is
price
a case?
Gouging.
That'd be like 20. It should be like $25 for bottles.
I think I can go to the Safeway, you know, that sells beer and wine near my house, and you could get it for $25, $23.
So it should be 50 plus 15 should be 65 maybe.
Right.
And I paid 90. $90 for two cases.
No, that's nuts.
Man, you better savor those brews. You better enjoy them.
It's crazy.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067 is the number. As I mentioned, J.P. Finley is going to join us at 720. We'll talk some Redskins with the insider from NBC Sports Washington. Our pal Alan May joins us at 820 and the great Cal Ripken Jr.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're at 9, all right here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Remember, you can always tweet us at Junks Radio. And you can text us on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Standard message data charges may apply. And always give us a call at 800-636-1067. So today we've got Cal Ripken Jr. at the end of the show. Tomorrow, going to be a big show. We've got Frank Caliendo, comedian, always fun, and I believe John Taffer.
Nice.
Brett's definitely going to check in if John Taffer. I think Brett listens to a lot of the shows, but that's like one of his heroes.
Can we get the Zoom going for those guys?
You got to try that.
To get the Zoom going for Cal.
We should definitely get it
on via Zoom.
I mean, everybody's at home. Everyone's using Zoom. So I guarantee you Taffer can do it. I guarantee they can all do it.
Has anybody bought stock in Zoom?
No, we should have.
Drabby,
did you see that somebody was asking Rhonda for a Rhonda update? We should book Rhonda.
I want a Rhonda update, but I don't have contacts with her.
I'll text you the number. I'll let you figure out like
that's
when
an EB
it's
booking right there.
Yeah, that's definitely an EB booking.
No. I'm going to text you the number and let you figure it out. She's on the front lines, man.
She is. Is she driving with a mask and gloves?
No, remember she was like she's old school. In fact, my uncle was grilling. She was just driving around with like bleach, as far as I know, and just like bleach her hands.
Are you guys using masks for your walks?
No,
not for walks. But
either. I would say in my neighborhood.
I mean, if they say to do it, but yeah, I haven't.
Yesterday was nice. I did see for the first time, and you know, I'm not joning, but it did kind of make me chuckle though. So I went for like a long run, and there was a woman who had a face shield. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
Like she didn't just have a mask.
I feel like a face shield.
plastic
You're
face
bulletproof.
Shields.
Oh, I've seen all of those.
I think those face shields.
Not if something comes in from the side, though. The face shield protects the front.
I mean, well, the side. Dude, I think those are bulletproof.
Did she just come out of surgery? I mean, I think that's pretty aggressive to wear the face shield.
Dude, I've thought of those. I'm thought, you know what? Because people can see your face. You look kind of dorky. But then it's funny when you see what people are doing, like, for homemade masks. And I don't even think it's a bit. Like, some guy, I know you saw it. The picture went viral. The guy put, like, the water jug on his head.
Right.
And then there was a picture yesterday of a guy who put a diaper or, you know, like a Pampers thing. And, like, where the leg hole was is where he put the face. And the rest of the Pampers, like, covered. It was genius. It was genius. People are just coming up with their own ideas.
Who knows how effective it is, but I guess people are using whatever they have at their disposal.
It'll help a little
bit, though. He wants attention. He knows people are going to take photos of him and put it out.
Probably. But
I mean, that's all he could come up with.
I think the face shield is, I mean, it's silly. Now, I guess for you, when you're coughing, that stuff could still come underneath, you know, and spread. Probably doesn't. But in terms of protecting stuff coming at you, I think that's pretty good. But, yeah, it's crazy. Drabby, are you wearing anything? Drabby's very anti-corona, so I'm guessing he's...
I mean, he barely wears a seatbelt in 2020.
I'm not anti-corona, but I... No, you, and we have surgical masks, but I'm
letting... But they don't fit over his lips.
Right.
Great thing.
I'll do say, it bothers me when I see people driving by themselves with masks on.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah. I don't get it.
Well, maybe they're just prepping themselves because they're going to the 7-Eleven or something.
Well, it takes half a second to pull up over your lips.
And I think if you wear a mask,
for you a little
generally
longer.
You would think if you're wearing a mask, you'd be wearing gloves. But when I went to Harris Teeter over the weekend, there was a guy who had a mask, no gloves. He's touching everything.
Well, that's because...
I'm like, what is he doing?
Because the gloves are dumb. Honestly, the gloves are dumb. Because... as soon as you touch one thing, you're just recontaminating over and over. There's really no purpose. You just touch whatever you do, and don't touch your face, and hit that hand sanitizer right away.
I don't understand why.
The gloves are dumb.
Some of the stores, like on the credit card machines, they put like a layer of plastic over top of it.
Yeah.
What's the point of that? Everyone's still touching it.
Just doing the same thing, right. What I know some stores have been doing is, if they're real diligent, they're wiping it after every time somebody uses it.
It's probably easier to wipe it down.
Just wipe it down. And then they also have hands. Again, it's one of those deals. If you have to go to the store, and believe me, I've studied all this, and I've seen all the videos, I've watched everything, you wear a mask, protect others, and there's a little protection for yourself. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the gloves are silly. Just touch everything or whatever, and then as soon as you leave there, before you pick up your grocery stuff, hit that hand sanitizer, get yourself all cleaned up, and then put your stuff away. And then, you know, I would probably clean my hands again with the hand sanitizer before you get in your car and then take off. If you have wipes, I would wipe down your steering wheel and stuff when you get home, too.
Who has wipes? that's the holy grail at this point.
Well, if you thought about it about a month ago, like your boy, you have a case
I still have some, but the supply is dwindling.
How did we go from... the mask isn't going to protect you at all to everyone must wear a mask?
Because, well,
a lot of mixed messaging out there.
Oh, definitely. Because I don't blame them. They needed masks for the healthcare providers, and there just weren't enough. And so they didn't want people to hoard them. But there's no question, I don't care what anybody wants to debate me, they can all day. I can point studies to you that it does offer you some protection, right? Some protection is better than none.
Drabby, I've heard some doctors say there's no data to really prove that the masks work, but he says that can't hurt.
Exactly. It can't hurt. But the primary thing is so you don't spread it. That's why they're saying it. You know, and it was an oversight, but they didn't want people to. It really wasn't even an oversight. It was a calculated gamble. Like, listen, we just can't. They didn't think it was spread this much. And we just can't let people hoard them and take them away from the healthcare providers who need. I mean, hell, grocery store workers need them at this point more than you do sort of at home.
I want to see the grocery store workers all masked up when I go in there.
Yeah.
It gives me a little peace of mind when I'm walking
around. Well, I just
around.
Feel for them.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
They're on the front lines as much as anybody. They're around people all day.
But they're one of the few industries that still have a job.
Yeah. Yeah. I see the grocery store manager, you know, over here locally at the Safeway, and that guy, you could tell, is just working his ass off. And I think he was just kind of I couldn't believe he wasn't masked up or anything. And he was in there. He looked like he is in there 16, 18 hours a day. But
probably is.
So I didn't pay attention to anything in the news yesterday. I rely on Eric to give it to me. I'm just on CNN. I get it. You know, it's left field media, but it says the headline is "Chaos Rocks White House on Virus Most Tragic Day." What's that all about? Did Trump say something controversial again?
I don't know. I don't know what that headline is referring to. You'd have to read a little more of it. No, I only watched a little.
That they have really long press conferences, the thing, and he ends up passing the baton to Mike Pence, and it goes for 2 hours. So sometimes,
I think,
you know, there's different messages coming out.
I know, but it says chaos rocks White House. Oh. What the hell does that mean?
Well, that might be referring to the old thing where they were arguing about the hydroxychloroquine or whatever.
No. I think it has to do with him firing the inspector general.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
it was
an
inspector general who looked at 300 hospitals. And the hospitals say that they're not getting enough testing and that testing sometimes lasts a week. And Trump basically, he tries to say that that's a lie, and he fired the inspector general who came up with the report.
And I think yesterday was the highest death in the United States because of the virus.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Right. But it is peaking on some level, like the number of cases are waning. The deaths always lag behind. You know, because there's 2-3 weeks, you know, before typically you progress to death. If you're in that minority that does actually perish.
But I did say that this week and next will be the two worst weeks. So let's just get it out of the way. I understand people are passing away. That sucks. But if it's going to hit, let's just get it.
The models are coming out and they're getting more optimistic. Still thousands and tens of thousands of deaths, but not at that 250,000 range. You know, it's coming down, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were looking at what was going on in other countries, I was kind of optimistic that the deaths had gone down in Italy and Spain. And I guess in Spain, they had their highest death rate yet, and it went up for the second day in a row. So after coming down for a little bit, it's gone back up.
Yeah, yeah. I think, again, they say the deaths lag behind the cases. You got to look at the caseload. And I think if you look at the cases, they're starting to trend down and flatten, so that's good. I think there is some light at the end of the tunnel, but again, we talk about it every day. It's how do we reacclimate ourselves back into the world and get it going again? You know, Mike Gundy, the head coach, where is he at, Oklahoma State or whatever, is just getting killed for being sort of tone deaf because he's like, all right, listen, this is brutal, but we got a college football schedule coming on,
I know.
And he's just getting killed. But you know, there is some level of truth to it that we got to find a way to get going again.
And I was going to say, I bet you a lot of the coaches, if not all, feel that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, now, that's all they know. That's their thing.
I mean, it's one thing to feel that way and to say it, and you're going to get criticized. But you're right. I mean, I would assume that most coaches, if not all, feel that way. Look, we got to get going. Life has to move on.
Yeah, and I think it's just hard for some people to wrap their brains around, all right, well, if 18, 19, 20-year-olds are basically fine with this, generally speaking, what are we doing here? But again, it's not about them necessarily. It's about everybody else.
I didn't follow the state-by-state numbers. My brother actually sent me a text that D.C.'s heating up.
They do say that Baltimore and D.C. is an emerging hotspot. And what is a little bit distressing about it is I saw a report, and I didn't dive into it, but I just saw a report that they're suggesting in Maryland that we won't peak until the end of the month. Yeah. So, you know, we still have got a ways to go.
I think the D.C.'s of the world have a disadvantage, man. All these cities that need public transportation, and they've kept public transportation. We've talked about it. Even here in Gaithersburg, I see the ride-on buses going by. I see people at bus stops.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of people, and it's because we're a heavily populated area and because we have a lot of traffic, a lot of people who are essential employees rely on public transportation to get to work. I think that's why in New York, I mean, there are a lot of reasons. You could talk about elevators. People live in these apartment complexes with hundreds of people on top of each other. But they also still have to use public transportation. That's how people get around.
But I think a lot of people have stopped using, at least here in D.C., didn't the metro numbers plummet by like 90% or more, like within the first 10 days?
Of course, it's come down, but they're still open, right?
Yeah, I mean, they still have to operate.
They're barely operating. There's not a ton of traffic on that at this point. Look, one of the reasons why the models are going down, and Jason, you remember how was it Jason? No, maybe it was my buddy Tom we were talking to yesterday, and he just thinks half the country is just so dumb. But they think the reason why the numbers are going to come potentially significantly lower than some of these terrible estimates is because as a country, They say 90% are heeding the stay-at-home social distancing rules. Think about that. 90%. And their initial models were based on 50% you know, doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that, you know, the country, and it's been my sense too, just look outside, just look at the roads, just look at the, you know, that 90% are adhering and trying to do the right thing. I think it's been incredible.
How do they know it's 90%?
It's just their estimates.
Just do that's a sampling.
There's the estimates, and that's why they think that the modeling is coming down every day.
They're you also know, like tracking your cell phones to see, you know, how far people are traveling from their homes at this point, and it's down.
Look at
by
the streets.
A huge percent.
Yeah. It's way down. So, I mean, there are pockets of people just doing stupid things. But by and large, I think they have been surprised by Americans' acceptance of these rules. And I guess it was maybe JP or somebody that mentioned it yesterday. It's because, yeah, people don't want to die. Your people are scared.
Of course. You know,
right. Yeah. Self-preservation.
Right. That kind of kicks in.
Yeah.
You know, people went from scoffing at it and saying it's just the flu to getting pissed off when they see other people not 6 feet away. You know? So
when I was talking to my friend who's in healthcare here in Virginia, she said that the numbers here in Virginia and D.C. were going to spike because a lot of the patients in New York and New Jersey in that area, Massachusetts, were coming down here.
Yeah.
Because there were more hospital beds here.
Yeah. Well, that's
so
another.
I think that's another reason why the numbers are starting to rise here.
I'm sure. But one good thing is also, too, part of that, you know, don't want to get political, so I won't, but. People are sort of bashing and saying, oh, there's not going to be enough hospital beds, not enough ventilators, and they don't like the way the administration is handling things. But the numbers are coming in below, and they're not near what they thought. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Cuomo was saying, you know, they were going to be 30,000 beds short. They're going to be 30,000 ventilators short. And they're coming in below those, and the hospitals are meeting the needs. I think they said in the press conference yesterday, the admiral said there hasn't been one patient. Now, maybe he's unaware of one or two, but he said there's not one patient that he knows of that needed a ventilator that didn't get one.
Well, I think because of that urgent messaging, they've actually received ventilators. I think California actually is sending 50 ventilators
right
to Maryland.
But they never hit their peak
states
that they thought.
Yes.
So it's good. It's good. Although, I mean, as a country, we're doing pretty well, all things considered. So, you know, we just got to get this number way, 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 way down. And hopefully we really start to see that in the next few days. It was distressing that New York had their worst day yesterday in terms of deaths, but the other indicators look good.
All right, so there's your Corona segment.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we do this?
When we always get into 6 o'clock hour.
When we come back, we'll get into Ron Rivera's comments yesterday. He had a teleconference talking about various things from Trent Williams to Kyle Allen versus Haskins. And more. So we'll hear from the head coach of the Redskins next here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 7:20, our pal JP Finley from NBC Sports Washington will join us to talk a little Redskins. We've got Alan May at 8:20 to give us some perspective on what's going on in the world of hockey. And Cal Ripken Jr. at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. Tomorrow, Frank Caliendo and John Taffer on the show. So we wanted to get into Ron Rivera's video press conference yesterday. And he got into a couple things, which we've been talking about, seems like now, for weeks, one of them being Trent Williams. So let's start there with an update on Trent Williams from the head coach of the Redskins, Ron Rivera.
For the most part, guys, it's one of those things that, you know, we've started a process. And during this process, we've had several conversations with both Trent and his agent. And, you know, and being respectful in this situation, we're not going to really get into details about that for the most part. We are still trying to do that, you know, and again, we're not quite sure what's going to happen. But at the end of the line, you know, he is a player under contract. He's a Washington Redskin, and we're going to leave it at that and just see how things unfold.
So no update.
He said nothing.
No update.
Just a waste of breath.
He learned at the hand of Mike Shanahan, apparently. Talk a lot, but don't really give any details.
Yeah. That's code for we're trying to work out a trade, if that makes sense for
right.
us.
We haven't gotten exactly what we wanted,
exactly.
so
we
still
want
remember
more.
The skin,
we want
so.
More for what we're giving up. And
well, they're not
exactly
going to get what they want.
Probably not.
I wonder ultimately what they're going to get.
I'm going to say a third rounder at best.
Third rounder? Maybe another, like a sixth.
Third rounder would be silly.
They'll take that.
I'd be psyched for a third rounder at this point, you know. How many teams have really publicly sort of expressed interest beyond the Browns? Who else? That's the only team
Well, maybe not recently, but New England during the season.
Right.
I think Tampa expressed some interest, or maybe that was just a false media report. But since they got Brady, they wanted to get a premier left tackle. I think Houston, maybe.
I have to say, I don't know if you guys listened to the interview that Grant and Danny did with his agent. He was an overly impressive guy, if you listen to it. It was kind of a mess.
Vince Taylor?
So I'm not convinced that Trent's getting the best advice or has the best representation.
I agree with you, Eric.
Yeah, I think NFL insiders were assailing him, just crushing him.
Yeah, I mean, he sounded like a very nice guy, but it sounded just like a mess.
Now, of course, we know that the Redskins' offseason, it hasn't been like a headline-driven offseason in terms of the top players coming in via free agency. Now, they did target two premier guys. They targeted Amari Cooper and Austin Hooper, and here's what Ron Rivera said about those negotiations.
What cut number?
Number four. Sorry about these.
You know, we were talking about you know, the substantial amount of money. But at the end of the day, he made a decision he felt was best for him, and we respect it. And you know, that's a tough one. We'd have loved to have him as part of what we're trying to do. We believe he'd have been a great veteran presence in the room, especially for those young guys, the young guys that played last year and had success for this football team. So you'd have felt good about having a veteran guy like that who's had success in this league as part of what you're trying to do. The Austin Hooper thing is we really weren't in it as it's been portrayed by a lot of people. But, the truth of the matter is, you know, he set the market as far as tight ends were concerned. And that's something we most certainly weren't prepared to do. You know, we wanted to get into it, but again, you know, once that money climbed very high and very quickly for him, good for him, you know, we decided to move on.
I guess the Redskins, they weren't comfortable paying $11 million plus for a tight end.
Right.
So
he's not a premier tight end. He's below the Travis Kelce's of the world. You know what I mean?
But in terms of what was available on the market, he was premier.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would want to get big money to Austin Hooper.
I mean, he didn't get big money. What did he get?
I think he got $11 million a year.
All right. Well, that's not huge. You can deal with that. For a weapon that a young quarterback is going to use a lot, I think it's worth it.
Would you have been willing to do the trade that the Falcons did for Hayden Hurst?
I can't remember what that deal was.
I think they gave up a first rounder, right?
No, it was a second rounder.
Second rounder? Okay, second. Hurst is good.
Well, if the Skins had a second rounder to deal, they might have entertained it. But they're
so
short
he went
on
to talk about the tight end position. Can we play cut nine? So clearly they have done some small work at tight end by bringing in Logan Thomas and Rodgers. But these are not guys who are going to be, you know, number one tight ends in the league. They're just not. So here's Coach Ron Rivera talking about the tight end position.
It's one of those things that in this system, you'd love to have a guy – with Greg Olsen type of ability, who's a primary ball catcher, a guy that goes out, find the hole, find the crease, find the seam, can separate when the ball's in the air at the right time. And that's one of the things that Greg Olsen did very, very well for us. You know, Logan Thomas is a guy that we see some glimpses of that type of athletic ability. you know, Pete Hainert, our tight end coach, felt very strongly about this guy's abilities, mostly because he thought he was a very smart and savvy football player. He's a tremendous athlete, and he's just learning and getting the position right now. Remember, he's a converted quarterback, a guy that, you know, has a skill set that's a little unique because of his understanding of the way offenses work. We brought in Richard Rodgers, a guy that's had success when he was in Green Bay playing with Aaron Rodgers. You know, one of the things I got to know Aaron a little bit. And one thing Aaron always thought that this was the kind of a guy that, you know, was always a safety valve, a go-to guy that just knew how to get himself open and in position. And I can also say every time we played against Green Bay, Richard had a good game. So he's another guy that we just feel that could come in and compete.
So the Skins, they're just gambling on upside, especially with a guy like Thomas, who has 8 starts and just 35 catches in his career. I mean, he's still, like Rivera said, learning how to play the position.
35 catches in his career?
In his career. I mean, he's very, you know, he's still new to the position.
Yeah.
So he's going to get a lot of opportunities here unless they draft somebody else, like in the third round, and that guy gets a lot of playing time. Thomas is going to see a lot of snaps.
So let's get to the quarterback talk. Here is Ron Rivera talking about Kyle Allen, cut number 8, and why they chose to bring him in versus others.
I think it would be a good competition. I really do. Mostly because having been around Kyle for 2 seasons and kind of watched him interact with the quarterbacks that were in the room, you know, he was in the room with a very strong personality in Cam Newton, and Kyle handled himself tremendously. And I really do think, you know, and then we had Taylor Heinicke, who was Taylor's understudy, and he was great with Taylor. So I just know what kind of person he is and just feel that he's the kind of guy that's going to go on this. He's not threatened by anything. What he's really concerned about is doing the best job he can. And if he ends up starting and being the guy, great. He'll be fired up about it. And if he's not, if he's in a backup role, he'll be fired up about that as well. I mean, he's the right kind of person for that room. And that's what I felt really strongly about. And that's why, you know, we were able to make the deal with Carolina and bring him in. I just think that he's got that real good sense about him that, you know, being part of something is better than being an individual.
And I think that's why he was the perfect guy to bring in. If they brought in like a Winston or a Cam, guys that are just desperate to start and be the alpha male, that wasn't going to work in this particular situation where you're trying to see what you got in your first round pick from last year. So I think Kyle Allen really was the perfect guy to bring in. Hopefully Haskins, though, can take that and just go and, you know, not let it distract him and just, you know, and blossom.
I said this before. He feels like Ron Rivera's Colt McCoy. Gruden had Colt McCoy around for years, liked him. Since he was a backup, he just liked him being in the quarterback room, knew the system, kept around Colt for a while. And to me, if I had to bet, I don't think Kyle Allen's going to emerge as the Redskins starter, but I actually believe Kyle Allen's going to be with the Redskins under Ron Rivera longer than Haskins.
That's not a bad bet. I don't think it's a bad bet. But if Haskins grabs the job and takes off, then you never know.
Two more clips I want to play. One was about Dan Snyder, and the other one is about whether they made a decision on the draft pick. Let's play the Snyder one first, and then you can interpret what he says about the draft pick, where, of course, they're drafting number 2. Cut 12 is whether Snyder's involved.
I probably talk with him daily to every other day. And really, it's about what we're doing, what we're planning on doing, what's happening more so than anything else. I think the biggest he's really asked is really that he just wants to be informed, you know, more so than just, you know, turning it over and then turning a blind eye. You know, I think he did the laissez-faire thing where it was, you know, he was hands off out of the way. So he just wants to know, and that's all it is. You know, we talk through things. You know, I've asked him for advice on certain things and certain issues, but for the most part, he's letting us do our thing. I mean, he'll call in and just ask how things are going. What do you think? Where are you guys now? More so than anything else. But like I said, the conversation is daily and to almost every other day. So, it's been good. It really has. You know, he's not here to impose his will or anything like that. He's here just to make sure we have the tools. That gives us the opportunity to do our jobs.
You know what I'd love to know?
Wait till next year or the year after.
Right. What I'd love to know is, okay, well, how does that compare and contrast to your experience in Carolina? You know what I mean? Like, what does that compare to what you knew when you were in Chicago or whatever?
Right.
That's what I want to know. I mean, that sounds fairly reasonable.
It's reasonable. When you own when you're writing checks for millions and millions of dollars, you probably want to check in with the business.
Yeah, I mean, if you own the entire operation, you are going to want updates and status reports.
And let's
that
be honest,
I understand.
We're not talking about like life-saving stuff here. We're talking about he owns a football team.
Right.
He wants to be involved a little bit. I get it. I mean, who wouldn't? If I owned the Redskins, I'd be calling the coach probably every day too and asking, "Hey, how we doing? What's going on?" I have no issue with that. The problem is when he starts saying, "Okay, this is what we're going to do." That's when it becomes a problem. And not that he doesn't have the right to do it, but that's when you just start to go in the wrong direction.
And who knows? He might be saying that.
He might. You can't really kill the guy for being interested.
Rivera's portraying Snyder as the perfect boss, and we know that's not the case.
Well, I mean, it's the honeymoon.
Yeah, right, they haven't played one real game yet. Let's wait for that to happen.
Let's play cut 14, and you can interpret whether or not they have locked down on the decision to draft Chase Young.
Well, I like to believe in the back of my mind, I know what we want to do. But, you've got to go through the process. You've got to go through what we're going to go through for the next 5 days with our readings, with our coaches, and then what we're going to do the next 5 days after that with Kyle and I going through the board, resetting the board, looking at it, going through our own mock drafts. You know, what happens if they do this? What happens if this happens? What if such and such calls? What are we going to do? So we've got to be fluid with that, most certainly. You know, do we try to make a deal to get back into the second round somewhere along the line as well? So there's a lot to think about. There really is. And again, having to do this virtually, you know, what we've done is we've talked as a group the last 3 days, 4 days about, you know, what everybody needs to be aware of, what everybody needs to be ready to handle.
It's all code for we're going to draft Chase Young number one.
Yeah,
do you think they ever do? Do you ever think they do what we do on like our fantasy draft, where all of a sudden the pick comes to us and they panic?
Probably.
You know what I mean?
No,
they don't know. There's a run on receivers. I better take one.
Teams have done it in the past. Wasn't it the Vikings that botched it and couldn't get hard up to the podium in time? So it has happened, but I'm guessing now
99% of the time they've
done it. In 2020, they've drilled down on it and they've run every scenario.
So I know they're professional and they've had all million. So you think they really just are calm, and when it comes to them, they go right by their board and they handle it very professionally?
95%+ of the teams do, yes.
Yeah.
They may not this year, though, because teams are worried that there could be tech issues.
Oh, yeah.
And Goodell said there's no do-overs. If your internet craps out, they're skipping
that. That would be so Redskins if their Zoom froze.
Mine actually froze like 2 minutes ago.
Right.
All right.
Well, why can't they just call in the pick? Why do
well,
they?
They'll
have
backup phones.
I'm
they'll
sure
have backup
they will.
Stuff.
I don't know.
They'll
you
have
don't
backup.
Have to resort
hook
to the internet.
Hook
all
up
the time.
That broadband. Get the best package.
All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in? We will talk more Redskins coming up at 7:20 with J.P. Finley. Remember the great Cal Ripken Jr. at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.